We're here on Daf Lamed Omid Beis, seven lines up from the bottom. Omar Rav Idi Bar Ovin, Omar Rav Nizgarsha Shneim Shovin. As far as the Chiyuv of Kibud Av Va'em, while the parents are married, and if there's a choice, which comes first, who gets top priority? The Av for Kibud Av, or the Aim for Kibud Aim, the law is that the Av gets top priority. That's only as long as they're married. After they're divorced, then Shneim Shovim, and there's no difference between the two. Perhaps we would apply the principle of Aim Mavir and Al Mitzvahs, and it depends where you're standing. If you're closer to your mother, you'll give your mother the cup of tea. If you're close to your father, you give your father the cup of tea. And the Gemara is going to give an example of this later on. Now we have a Braisa that deals with the greatness, the significance of the mitzvah of Kibud Av Va'em. Very rare that the Gemara waxes so dramatic about the significance of any mitzvah. Tana Rabbanan, Nemar Kabed Es Avicha V'Yesimecha V'Nemar. We have a pasuk in Tanakh in Mishlei, Kabed Es Hashem Mehoncha. And the Gemara sees an analogy here in both. In both psukim, we have the word kabed, and in the second pasukim Mishlei, we're talking about kvod shem Hashem. Is hishva kosev kibud av va'em lekvod hamakom? The Torah equated the kavod that one has to have for a parent with the kavod that one has to have for a kodesh baruch. That's an amazing, awesome equation. The Gemara goes on to say, Nemar ish imo v'yomiv tiro, v'nemar es Hashem alkecha tiro, v'yoso savo. Again, we see an analogy here. The word tiro, or tira, appears in both psukim. Hishva kosev, the Torah is equating moras of ve'em, l'moras hamokom. The reverence one has to have for parents, equated with the reverence one has to have for the Ribbono Shlom. We'll soon see that the Amoraim would hear the pitter patter of the mother coming, and they would stand up and say, "We're standing up in front of the Shechina." Nemar mekalel oviv v'imo mosyumos v'nemar ish ki yakalel kovenasa cheto. Again, we see both in the case of ovimo and in the case of elokov, the Iser of Klola, the severe Iser, Hishva Kosuv, Birchas of the Aim, the Birchas HaMokom. A Klola in both cases, whether it's Ava Aim or the Mokom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is equated. Aval Baka, with regard to Ka, here it's impossible to imagine any sort of an equation. Maka of Vimomos Yumos, obviously God is infinite. He's not physical, and therefore there's no hakah, vadi, efshar, there's no way lashvosim to equate them. Bechein bedin, this whole equation here between kibud and mora of avayim on the one hand and HaKadosh Baruch on the other is logical. Why? Sheshloshtam shutofim bo, because there are three partners in the creation of man. Tana Rabbanan shlosha shutfim heim biadam. There are three partners in the creation of man: HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Aviv, V'Imo. And we'll see that each one of these three partners contributes another dimension to the entity of man. Bizman Sha'odam Mechabit Es Aviv Es Imo Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Olav. God says about such a person who fulfills the mitzvah Kibud Av Va'em, if it's possible to do so, Mala Ani Aleihem, I consider as if ki'ilu darti b'neihem v'chibduni, as if I, says Hashem, was there amongst them, and they gave me that kavod. In other words, the kavod that one gives to his parents is kavod that he's giving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person who accepts the command of Hashem and he's mechabed his parents, it's basically a kavod for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tanya, we learned in a braisa, so Rebbe Omer Golui V'Yadua Lifnei Misha Omar V'Hoya HaOlam. It's absolutely revealed in front of God. Sheben Mechabed Es Imo Yoser Mi'aviv. that on a psychological level, a son has a tendency of wanting to do kavod first and foremost for his mother. Mipnei shemishad loso bidvarim. And here we're on daf, lamed aleph, lamed aleph. It means she's constantly speaking to his heart. She's his best buddy. And therefore, naturally, he'd want to give back with kavod. The close relationship between a son and his mother, it reflects itself in a natural tendency or almost a knee-jerk response to kavod. This is the way that you can express your friendship, your appreciation. Lefichach, and therefore, paradoxically, hiktiv HaKadosh Baruch Hu kibud av lekibudeim. The Torah wants to tell you, wait a minute. It doesn't mean that just because you have this love relationship and a natural sense of wanting to give kavod to your mother first. No, the Torah puts kibud av first. And that tells you that you have to equate the two. You have to equate kibud av and kibud em. You shouldn't be more natural, jump to the gun and be ready for kibud em and a little bit reticent when it comes to kibud av. No, they're both on the same level. In fact, in the case where they're married, the kibud av will actually befall come first. And furthermore, the primary mode of a relationship between a son and his father is that of reverence. And therefore, when it comes to the mitzvah of reverence for a parent, then it would be natural for the son to give priority to his father. And where does this reverence come from? Ibnei Shemalamdo Torah, which can be understood in many different ways. It could be understood as if the father is in charge of rebuking the son, chastising him, giving him musar, being miyaser him to make sure that he goes the right way, and that engenders a certain fear of the father. It could also mean that since the father teaches him Torah, he has that natural sense of respect and awe. My father knows so much. But lefichach hiktim HaKadosh Baruch Hu mora ha'em lemora av. The pasuk says ish imo the aviv tiro. The Torah wants to give special power and energy for us to mora aim, that a person shouldn't just, because of his natural sense of reverence for his father, put reverence for his mother on the back burners. No, it's right up there. So in effect, what this brisa is doing is it's reconciling what looks to be a contradiction in terms of the sequence of priorities. In the case of kibud, the pasuk says kavod es avicha v'esimecha, putting the father first. In the case of mora, the Torah says ish imo v'aviv tiro, putting the mother first. How do we reconcile this? The answer is, in this case, the Torah is sort of battling against your natural psychological response and equating kibud av, mora av, with mora em. Tani Tana Kami de Rav Nachman, a brisa that was taught in the presence of Rav Nachman, Bizman Shadam Mitzayres Oviv Es Imo, if a person causes anguish to one of his parents, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yofa Asisi Dlo Darti Beinayim. And what does that mean? We spoke before about the fact that if a person is Machabit, his father, his mother, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu declares Kilu Darti Beinayim. And here what we're saying is Yafa Sisi Shalodarti, because there was no Kibud Av Ha'em, he was Mitzayra's father, Mitzayra's mother, therefore Hashem says, you know, it's a good thing that I wasn't Dar B'Neim, because had I been there, Tziaruni, I myself, Kaviyachal, would have suffered from the lack of Kibud Av, the Tzar, that a son or a daughter's mitzvah, a father or a mother, is directed really at Hashem. Omar Rabbi Yitzchak kala over avera b'seiser. The Gemara is now talking about the existence of God. Is ki'ilu dochak dochek ragle hashchina. Even if there's no one there to witness his rebellion against God, nevertheless, it's as if he pushes away the Shechina. It's as if there's no Ashgach of HaKadosh Baruch at that place. No one sees him. No one recognizes his Maisa. But nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu recognizes his Maisa. and therefore he's dochek raglei shechina. It's as if he's making a statement that, you know what, just like no one else sees me, no human beings, God doesn't see me. He almost denies the ability and the reality of God observing him in that private place doing avera. Shenemar, the pasuk says, Yeshaya ko amar Hashem Hashemayim kisi v'aretz adom raglai. That means that the Shekhinah is everywhere, up in the Shamayim, down in the Aretz, and this person wants to hide himself and perform an avera, and he thinks no one's going to see him. He's really being dochek raglei HaKadosh Baruch. He's almost declaring God is not here. And if man declares God is not here, then God is not there. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Asur liyadam shalich arba amos bekomas kufa. Person cannot walk four amos in a very proud sort of posture. You know, certain people, you see them walking, you know that they are in a komas kufa, in a gaiva kind of mode. The way they walk, you can see. Shenemar, the Torah describes HaKadosh Baruch Hu, again in Tanakh, Melo chol aretz kvodo. And therefore, by walking b'komas kufa with a derech of gaiva, of haughtiness, he's in effect undermining the Shekhinah. The Shekhinah is everywhere, but he says, you know what? There's no place here for the Shekhinah. I'm great. And the truth is that whenever a person is guilty of gaiva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ein ani v'hu darim, we cannot live, coexist together. Rav Huna Bereid, Rav Yeshua lo misagi, arba amas beli gili rosh. You never saw Rav Huna walk four amos barehead. Omar, he declared, Shekhinah lamala miroshi. Shekhinah is there on top of my head. And it's not fitting that I would stand in front of the Shekhinah without covering my head. So that's what we call ituf. Ituf means whenever you cover your head. Now it's interesting, on the one hand, Rabbi Shimon Levi said that no one is allowed to walk Dalet Amos V'Komas Kufa. When it comes to Gili Rosh, the Gemara uses Rav Huna as the outstanding example, as if he was the exception to the rule rather than the rule. Our minig was to take upon ourselves the dictum of Rav Huna and apply it to every rank and citizen Jew, rank and file Jew. It doesn't apply only to the Yechidei school or on the level of Rav Huna. We all strive to have that sense that the Shekhinah is forever envelops us, and therefore we want to walk around with a covering over our head, a yarmulke. It should be never should be begilui rosh. When it comes to lahalach arba'amos b'komas kufa, I'm afraid that we're not so makpid about that. And now we get back to the issue of kibud avayim in the case of a divorced couple. The parents are divorced. Shol ben almona achas. There was a case of an individual who was orphaned from his father, and he had a mother. She was an almona, she was a widow. And this individual, who's nameless, anonymous, asked the question as Rabbi Eliezer, what do I do in the following case? Abba Omer Hashkeni Mayim, V'ima Omeres Hashkeni Mayim, Eze Mehem Kodem. Should I serve and be Mechabi my father first? Should I serve and be Mechabi my mother first? Omer Lei, Rabbi Eliezer said, Hanach Kvod Imcha, Vasei Kvod Avicha, Shatov Imcha, Chayovim B'Kvod Avicha. Now what we have here is a rule that governs kedima. Kedima means when I have to know, when I have two mitzvahs, which mitzvah takes priority, and which should I attend to first. And these are special laws that govern the issues of kedima, of priorities. It doesn't necessarily mean that inherently one mitzvah is greater than the other, but there are rules of priority. For example, you could have one mitzvah that's greater than the other, but the second mitzvah, even though it's inferior, but nevertheless it's overus, you know, it's urgent. And if we don't fulfill it now, whereas the first mitzvah we can postpone. Here also we have a case, an example of kedima, of one of the laws of kedima. And that is, if you have a joint chiv, we'll call you A, and you have a chiv towards B and C, which comes first, B or C? How should you implement your chiv? First, you should serve B, or first you should serve C. So the rule of Kedima tells me that if C, excuse me, if B has a chiv kibud to C, then A has a chiv kibud first to C, because A and B both share the same chiv kibud to C. And that's what's going on over here. You as the son are trying to decide between, we'll call it B, which is kibud M, and C, which is kibud Av. And he says, Atov imecha chayom b'chod avicha. It means that your mother, who's B, has a chiv kibud towards her husband, your father, C. And therefore both you and your mother share a common chiv kibud towards C, towards your father. And therefore, as a general rule, you serve your father first. Balifnei Rabbi Yoshua, the same individual came in front of Rabbi Yeshua. The first question was asked to Rabbi Eliezer, the second to Rabbi Yeshua. And Omar lo kach. Not only did he show up in front of Rabbi Yeshua, but he repeated the question. And Rabbi Yeshua is going to take it a little bit further. Omar lo kach, he gave him the following response, which means he repeated exactly what Rabbi Eliezer had said. So the same question was asked twice, once to Rabbi Eliezer, the second time to Rabbi Yeshua. They both gave the same identical answer. But now, at this point, Omar lo, this ben almonachas, turns to Rabbi Yeshua with another question. Rabbi, Nisgarsha Mahu, what if one's mother was divorced from her father? Do we still insist that her father comes first? He gets first precedence? He gets precedence? Amale. And Rabbi Yeshua noticed about this Ben Almona Achas, Mi Ben Rise Einecha. These are the eyebrows. You know, sometimes when you cry for a long time, you wipe your eyes from so much incessant crying, you lose some of the eyebrows. And Nika, I can tell Sheben Almonato, that you're the son of an Almona, meaning you've been crying and grieving over the loss of your father, and as a result, the hairs in your eyebrows are falling off. And therefore, you're not asking this question in order to implement the answer that I'll give you immediately, because in truth, you have no father. So the issue of who comes first, your mother or your father, and they're being divorced, and so all that is irrelevant to you. But you want to learn, you want to study the abstract halacha. So he says to him, Hatel lahem mayim v'seifel v'kakea Lahem Kitarnagolin. In other words, set up between them water in a sefel, in a cup, and kakelem kitarnagolin. You know, that's the sound that a cockle doodle do that a hen would make, and that's the sound you make to draw their attention to come forward. And they both now have this drink. They're both thirsty, your father and your mother. Who's going to drink first? The answer is, you just put it in front of them. Hatel emayim b'sefel. They'll have to fight it out. Or maybe they'll decide, he'll give her, she'll give him. In other words, the answer is, says Rabbi Yeshua, that there is no answer. You have two mitzvahs that are exactly equivalent. And you don't want to insult anybody, you know, in this case, and give kibud to this one over that one, Av over Em, or vice versa. Therefore, put it in between. Your mitzvah was to bring the sefer. You brought the sefer with mayim. That's it. Now let them take over. And it says here in the name of Rabbeinu Yerucham, Kvodom Shava, Ve'en lo lahaktim kovod echem mehem. The covet of a father, the covet of a mother are equal. And therefore you should not choose one over the other. and prefer one over the other. We're going on in the midst of Kibbutz Avaim. And the question the Gemara is addressing at this point is, what kind of mitzvah is it? Is it a mitzvah that's rational, logical, it was accepted universally by all of mankind? Darash Ula. Now there are two Ulas. So just to make sure you know which one is referred to, it's Ula Rabba. He's the older Ula. Ula the elder. Apischa de Bein Nesia. He gave a drasha on the entranceway into the Beis HaNasi. My Dichsiv, what does the Torah mean? In this case, David HaMelech. When it says, Yoduch Hashem kol Malchei Eretz, ki shamu imrei ficha. And if you read the pasuk carefully, it says imrei ficha in the plural. Maimar picha b'loshen yochid lo nem. It doesn't say in the singular maimar picha. Ela imrei picha in the plural. And it would appear that the malchei eretz, the kings of the various lands on the face of the earth, have made an about face, and now it's Yoduch Hashem. They are singing praise to Hashem and expressing gratitude. B'shosh ha'omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu Anochi v'lo yelechem omru mosla olam l'chvod atzmo hu doresh. When Hashem gave at Har Sinai the first of the two Aseres HaDibros, the emphasis here is on Hashem, as so to speak, the epicenter of this tzivui. Number one, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Number two, Lo Yilecha. It means that Hashem is pushing the agenda here, and that's called in the language of the Umas Olam Lichvod Atzmo Hu Dorish. And quite clearly, according to this accusation of Lichvod Atzmo Hu Dorish, then there's no room for respect for Hashem. And they lost respect because they thought that the Aseres HaDibros exhausts itself, is totally, totally, exclusively dedicated to the Kvod Hashem, Kvod Atzmo Hu Doresh, to use the language of the Gemara. Now, there's a problem here. Could the Umos HaOlam actually have heard Anochi and V'lo Yieh? We know that the Umos HaOlam rejected the offer to receive the Torah. So in some metaphysical sense, these two Dibros filtered out and spread out amongst the nations of the world. Now the nations of the world hear about the fifth Dibra. It says, Kevon Shen Omar, Kabel es avicha vesimecha, chazru vahodu lamamoros harishonos. So just like we saw at the beginning, that Yoduch Hashem kol Malchei Eretz, that initially there was a hodah on the part of the kings of the land. And why so? Because kishamru imeficha. What does it mean, kishamru imeficha? They heard the word of God. In truth, when they heard the word of God of Anochi v'lo Yieh, the first two Dibros, they scoffed and they said, who is this God who's so self-centered, who's b'kvod atzmo dorsh? But then, when they heard kaved es avicha v'simecha, is chazru v'hodu l'mamoros harishonos. If Hashem is commanding honoring parents, and how much more so would he be commanding to honoring Hashem? God is a partner in the creation of man. And man's life and his death are in the hands of God. Therefore, once they heard, the Umos HaOlam heard, all the Dibros, and amongst them, Kavod es Avicha v'Imecha, then they rescinded, they changed their mind about their original statement, which scoffed the dignity of Hashem by saying that Kvod Atzmo Hu Dorish. And if you take a look here, for example, in the note of the Marsha, he writes, Now, Pasuk Mashma Shal Umos Lo Hodu Mitchilok Sheshavu Dibur Echad. When they first heard Anochi Hashem Elokecha, they weren't ready to recognize and praise, appreciate Hashem. Ad Sheshavu O Dibros Uvavade Enakavon Aloma Sheshavu Es Adibra Sheni Lo Yelecha. It doesn't mean that as soon as they heard the second of the 10 dibros lo yilcha miyad hodu, they immediately praised Hashem. Why would they be more ready and prepared to raise Hashem after the second of the asar said dibros than after the first? But rather, b'vadei hakavana shahodu liachshav shomas adibur kabin es avicha. That's the point at which they confessed, they admitted, and they acknowledged God. Rav Amar Mihocha, I have a different pasuk to teach that the Aseres HaDibros had an impact on the Umas HaOlam and they were mode. The pasuk says until him Rosh Dvorcha Emes. What does it mean Rosh Dvorcha Emes? What's Rosh Dvorcha Emes? Only the Rosh V'lo HaSof Dvorecha Elo Shemisof Dvorecha Nikar Sha'af Rosh Dvorecha Emes. From the fact that at the end In well into Aseres HaDibros, you commanded the honor of one's parents. Now it's nikar. It's quite clear that in Rosh Dvarech, even the first dibros are emes. From the fact that in the last of the dibros we have kibud av va'em, and we realize that Hashem is caring about all creatures, then for sure they'll accept the beginning of the Aseres HaDibros, the Anochi and Lo Yilecha, to give respect to God. If we had any doubts, the Umas HaOlam had any doubts about whether Hashem is involved and is sympathetic to the entire creation, as opposed to being totally focused on himself and his own glory, then surely from the Sof Dvarecha, from the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em, we see that Hashem cares not just about himself, but about any of the three shutfim that were involved in generating man's existence. Now the Gemara brings the Umas HaOlam, that the mode in the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em, Boy Minei Rav Ula. The question was asked of Rav Ula, Ad Heichon Kibud Av V'Em. Give me an example, a scenario that goes very, very far. How demanding and how harsh could this mitzvah be? Amar lehem tzu'uri'u Masha Asa Oved Kochovim Echod B'Ashkelon Dom Benesin Shmo. Check out what a guy did in Ashkelon. His name was Dom Benesin. Pam Achas Bikshu Chachomim. The Chachomim asked him Prakmatia B'Shishim Ribu Yischar. The Chachamim wanted to give an awesome sum of money, a schora, you know, that's wares that could be sold at 600,000 dinrei zav. But v'hayim fateach, v'hayim afteach munav tachas marashos shalav lo tzira. But this Dom Ben Asina knew that the only way that he could sell his schora, his prakmatia, and at such an amazingly high price, is by waking up his father. And why is that? Because the key to open up the storehouse was hidden underneath his father, Dom Ben Asina's father's head. And he would have to be mitzayim to wake him up from his sleep to get access to the key. He didn't do so. And the Gemara tells us more about this Dom Ben Asina. Om Rabbi Yehud, Om Shmuel, Shalus Rabbi Eliezer, Heichon, Kibud Av V'Em. How far does this mitzvah stretch? Om Alehem Tzu Uriu, Mi'ay Osu, Ove Kechom Echad Li'ov, V'Yashkel, V'Dom Ben Asina Shmo, Bikshu Mimenu, Chachomim Avonim Li'efod. The Chachomim found out that Dom Ben Asina was the proud owner of the precious stones that were needed for the Choshen, and that was worn on the ephod of the Kohen Gadol, and they were willing to pay b'shishim ribo schar. I can only tell you this is a massive, awesome amount of money. I can't tell you exactly how much it is, but we're talking about Shishim Ribo. We're talking about 600,000. She writes, "Shaya mistaker ba Shishim Ribo dinrei zav." In other words, the amount of merchandise that they would make this exchange, this barter for, in order to buy the rare avodim leifa, would be the amount of schorah that could be sold on the market at shishim ribu dinrei zav. That's a sum that we can't even imagine. Rav Kahana masne b'shmonim ribu, not 600,000, but 800,000. Sound familiar? The key to get access to the safe was underneath the head of his father, the Lotziro. And Doma did not want to wake up Nisina and disturb his sleep. And why? Because of the great mitzvah of Kibud Av Va'Em, which was recognized even by a guy, by Dov Ben Asina. And the Gemara goes on to say that Lishana Acheres, a year went by, Nasila HaKadosh Baruch Hu Schara. Dov Ben Asina received his reward a year later. Shenoldolo Para Aduma Viedro. Amongst the cows, one of them gave birth to a red heifer. Nichnasu Chachmei Yisrael Etzlo. The Chachamim heard about it. They came to Dov Ben Asina, and they were willing to pay an enormous sum for the paraduma. Amar lehem, Doma turns to them and he says, Yodea ani bachem she'im ani mevakish mikol michem kol moment sheba'olam. I know, I realize that there's no, the sky is the limit. There's no limit to how much money you'd be willing to pay for a paraduma. I know it's so invaluable to you. Atem nostimli, that you would give to me in order to make this swap for my skinny little, maybe it was a little bit bigger than skinny, paraduma. No, it's for this paraduma that I have. I know you're willing to pay me all the money that I would ask for. Ella, but I'm an honest guy. I'm ethical. Ein ani mevakish mchem ella oso mamon shifsadeti bishvil kvod ava. How much money did I lose for the sake of honoring my father? I didn't want to wake him up. That sum of money is what I would accept. So if you remember, there were two cases that we had, and the first case was the case of Prakmatia. What was the case of Prakmatia? Let's just go over it once quickly. The Chachamim wanted to buy the goods. They wanted to buy goods, Prakmatia's goods, from Dov Ben Asina, and they're willing to pay Shishim Ribu, but he didn't want to wake up his father. In the second case, they were willing to pay Shishim Ribu, or perhaps Shmonim Ribu, in order to buy the Avonim Leifot. And here in the third case, where Dov Ben Asina has the Paraduma, he says, just pay me what I lost for not being Mitzayer my father. It doesn't spell out which of the two cases that we had, whether it was because he had Prakmatia to sell the Chacham at Shishimri, because he had Avonim for the Eifot that he didn't wake up his father, he could have sold it for Shishimri. I'm not sure which case it is. But let's assume it goes on the last case, Bismuchin, and therefore it's the case in which they would have paid him Shishim Ribu, or some say Shmonim Ribu, for the sake of buying the Avonim Li'efot. In any event, we see so profoundly that this Dov Ben Asina, what he would do for the sake of Kibud Av Va'Em. And that gives us chizuk, because if we understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw to it that as reward for not waking up his father, he would eventually have a paraduma. and be able to sell it at that price, even could have demanded a higher price. This gives us chizuk to see how HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestows schar, reward, on those who do the mitzvahs. And if this is reward for Dom and Asina who's not Jewish, how much more so for a member of Am Segula? The Omer of Chanina, Uma, let's make Kelvachov Misha Eino Mitzuv. In the case of a guy, he has seven mitzvahs, but they don't include, the list doesn't include Kibbut Avayim, Kach, and nevertheless, he got such a great schar. Is mitzuva v'yosa, meaning Yisrael who have the mitzvah kibud avim, alachas kama v'kama, how much more so should they get schar, because the mitzuvosa gets even more schar than any mitzuvosa. The Omer Abchanino, gadol mitzuva v'yosa yoser mini she'ena mitzuva v'yosa. Intuitively, we would have suspected that someone who volunteers and is not obligated would get more schar. Do him is more reward than someone who's obligated. But our halacha, our hashkof is just the opposite. That's what Chanin is pointing out. That there's a special schar for the motzuva v'yosa. And if Dom ben Asina has an ena mitzuva v'yosa, as a ben Noach who doesn't have the mitzvah kibbutz, gets so much great schar, how much more so we will get rewarded for kibbutz avim because we have the status of a mitzuva v'yosa. Why is it though that Rabbi Chanin says that a mitzuva v'yosa gets greater schar than an eina mitzuva v'yosa? And here's where Tosus famously points out that if you're mitzuva v'yosa, you work harder, you put all your efforts, and sometimes it's very exhausting and even mitzayir. Every minute you're trying your best. How can I fulfill this mitzvah? I'm obligated. And not only that, the Eitz HaHara knows that you're obligated and tries to trick you and trip you up. Misha eina mitzuva v'yosa, that's something else. He's not worried about the future so much. And if it's difficult and challenging to implement the mitzvah, he'll just drop it. There's nothing motivating him. So he doesn't put in all that much effort. He'll do it if it's simple, if it's accessible, but when it's kasha love, he'll leave it. And when it comes to schar mitzvah, we have the principle in the Mishnah Novas, lefum tzara agur, the more effort, the more toil, and sometimes even suffering that you put into fulfilling a mitzvah, the greater your reward. The Ritva also adds here that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need anything from all the mitzvahs. They're all given for our zchus, for our benefit, our merit. And therefore, a mitzvah v'yosa, he's really doing what Hashem asked him to do. He's directly, immediately fulfilling the will of God. An eina mitzuva? Well, that's something else. He's not actually doing the ritzon kono, because he never got a tzivu, he was never commanded. But he will receive schar. Why? Because of that enjoyment and enjoyment, pleasure, and that he got as a midas chasidus, by placing himself into danger for the sake of others. Omar Rav Yosef, Meiresh, originally, before I heard the words of Rav Chanina, that an Eina Mitzuv Yosef is on a lower Madrega, Havamina, I thought, Man Dahavi, Omarli, anyone who could prove to me, Halacha, Rav Yehuda, the Omar Suma, Potemina Mitzav, Vidyo, and Tavla Rabbanon, Rav Yosef was a Saginor. He did not have the power of sight. And he was hoping that we would paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, that a Suma who cannot see is potter min hamitzvos. I'm going to be happy and I'm going to celebrate. Why? Dolo mifkedina veha avidna. Because even though I'm not commanded, I still fulfill my mitzvahs. Rabbi Yosef, even though he was blind, he fulfilled the mitzvahs. So he thought he'd get great scars and ate a mitzvah Yosef. But hashta, disham iso laha, the Omer of Chanina, gol mitzvah Yosef, Yosef, mimicha, ate a mitzvah Yosef. Now that I heard, on the contrary, greater is the person who's obligated. Adarav, now please tell me, man di omeli di ena loch grabu, that anyone will tell me that a suma is chayim in mitzvahs, avid di yom etov l'rabbonon, I am going to be so overwhelmed with joy that I am going to make a celebration. I'm going to invite all the Chachamim to tell us, to tell them that I'm so thrilled that a Suma is Chayiv in the mitzvahs. The only thing is, what was the Havamina here that the Halachas like of Yehuda, as a general rule, we have a principle of Yochid V'Rabim Halacha K'Rabim. Why did Rav Yosef say, you know, that somebody should come along and tell me in his maskota ain halacha k'Rav Yehuda? He wasn't mesupak in it, but since originally he said maybe somebody will tell me that halacha is like Rav Yehuda, therefore he went ahead and he said maybe somebody will tell me now that the halacha is not like Rav Yehuda. Ki osa Rav Dimi Oma Pamachas hoyeluk same dovin esin a lavush sirkon shelzov. Another story about dovin esin, again to illustrate how far, how extensive this mitzvah of kibud av v'em is. He was wearing beautiful sirkon. Sirkon is big day meshi. This is something made out of pure silk, very rare, very expensive. And not only that, it was woven with golden threads. Hayoshev Gedoli Roman. He was so significant. He was sitting amongst the greats, the leader, the officers of Rome. Basa Imo, his mother came, Vikarato Mimena. I suppose she had lost it. You know, she was suffering from a severe case of dementia. And she walked up to him, to Dom Inesina, as he was sitting amongst the greats in his beautiful wardrobe. She ripped off his clothes, Karatu Menu, Tafkalo al Rosho. She probably took off her sandal and hit him over the head, the Yarkal over front of him, and she spit in front of him. Velohik Lima. And he didn't respond. He didn't embarrass or humiliate her, as if he wasn't angry at her. And this was an amazing act on the part of Dom Inesina. Some say it was even greater than the first stories that we learned about Dom Inesina, where he gave up enormous sums of money for the sake of Kibud Av. And actually, the Rambam is going to codify this la'alacha, adheichan Kibud Av v'ein. A person, even when he's, you know, he should be angry at his parents for doing crazy things, that again, when they do in an insane state of old age. But nevertheless, he doesn't show any tzar. He's mekabel gzeiras hamelech of kibud av v'em, or av v'em. Tani avimi berei drav abba d'aravo. We have now another statement in the Gemara about the significance of kibud av v'em and how to fulfill this mitzvah. Yesh machil yov pisyono pisyoni tardo min olam yesh matchino b'rei chayim umevio l'chay olam abo. Rashi explains, and he based himself on Yishalmi, that there are two scenarios and they seem to be totally antithetical. On the one hand, there's a person who feeds his father pisyoni, the most expensive meat, that she says slav, I guess we call it roast duck, and tardo min olam, it takes him completely out of the world, and he'll be punished for what he did. And the reason is, says Rashi, he shows his father angry. He shows that he's angry about this. He shows, he displays a tzaras ayin, like, you know, why do I have to do this? You know, just eat it, tchon, you know, chew it up. The yesh matkin, but the other person forces his father to grind the mill, which is a very difficult and challenging work, and yet, as a result, he achieves chaye olam haba, eternal life as his reward. And Rashi explains that in the first case, he shows disdain for his father. His father asked him, where did you get this, you know, money for expensive meat? And he says, just don't ask me questions. Saba, he calls him old man. Just chew it up. In the second case, What happened was he had an elderly father, and he, the son, was supporting the family by working the mill, grinding the grains with the mill. It was very, very hard, backbreaking work. Now, a draft notice came for the father, which means that he would have to work in the king's palace. And the son, of course, didn't want his father to have to be degraded so, and offered to go in his father's place as long as his father would replace him grinding the mill. And Rashi adds the words, "Ani elech tachtecha l'avodas hamelech she'ein lo kitzva," meaning when he was drafted, the father officially was drafted, but the son now would take his father's place. There's no kitzva. You don't know exactly when that would be. Imagine a young man is at the height of his career, and now he goes to work in the king's kitchen or whatever it is for the next 25 years, basically forfeiting his whole future, and all for the sake of his father, Kibra. And that's what brings him into Olam Haba. And of course, Rashi points out that the way he speaks to his father is b'divrei nichumim. He says, you know, "Please, Abba, this is what has to be done. I won't be here to support the family. You take my place." The Gemara goes on to give other stories about the greats and the Talmidei Chachamim and the Chiyuv Kibud Tahorim. Amar Rabbi Abba Kigon Avimi Bri. You want to give an example of the mitzvah, a paradigm of the mitzvah Kibud Avim? Take a look at Avimi, my son. Kiyem mitzvahs Kibud. He has fulfilled the mitzvah as it should be. And now he goes on to tell you how it happened. Chamisha Bnei Samchi Havile Lavimi Bechai Ovim. Rabbi Avo, the grandfather, was alive. Avimi, his son, was now the father of five very chashuv young men, five sons, grandsons of Rabbi Avo. They all had smicha, b'nei smichi. They were mora hora. Each one was a mora hora. V'ki hava osa, nevertheless, when Rabbi Avo would come to visit his son, Kari Abava, he would call out for him at the gate, you know, he'd ring the bell, and Avimi himself, Rohit, would run the Ozil and go Pasachle and open up for his father Rabbi Avo. Why not leave it for one of the five grandchildren? The Omar, and as he's running, Avimi would declare, Ain, father, wait just one moment, I'm going to open up for you. Adamitoy Hassam, until I get there to open the door for you. The Gemara goes on to tell us more about Avimi. Yomachad Amale, there was one particular occasion which Rabbi Avo told his son Avimi, Ashkein Maya, give me a drink of water. Adi Aisile, it took a little bit of time, maybe it was Hati, I don't know. Till Avimi came back to bring the water to his father Rabbi Avo. Nimnim, Rabbi Avo fell asleep. Gachin, so Avimi, his son, bent over his father. Bekoyale, and he stood over his father Adi Itar until his father would wake up so that he could immediately present him with that which he requested. During the time period, whether it was 5 minutes or more, I don't know, that Avimi was standing over his father, Istayaya Milsei, he had a special siyata d'shmaya in merit of the great mitzvah kibud av va'em. He had a ha'ara min ha'shamayim v'dorash Avimi, and Avimi was able to interpret the 79th chapter of Tehillim, Mizmar Liasov. Rashi explains, Biodo Gochin Lefonov Shehavin Medrish Mizmar Echot Shbesefer Tim Shalyam Mavin Bokorm Chen. He couldn't understand this Medrish until now. And what was it? Mizmar Liasov. This capital in Tilim, Ayin Tes, opens with Mizmar Liasov. And then it continues, Alakim Bo Goyim Ben Achlasecha. The enemies of you, God, have come to take over Eretz Yisrael. They they've conquered the land. Why is that Mizmar Liosaf? It should be Kino Liosaf. It should be a lamentation. V'dorash kach, Omar Asaf Shira Al Shekila Kodesh Baruch Hamas of Yetzin Avonim Shebebeso Mitokach Hosir Plato B'Yisrael Shel Moli Kachlo Nishtayer Misoni Yisrael Sorit. This is the famous statement of Chazal Medrash Echo, which Rashi is referring to, that the fact that God in fact had to choose between taking his wrath out over the Beis HaMikdash, the Yetzin Avonim, or Chas V'Shalom destroying the people of Israel, and God chose to destroy the Migdash and let the people of Israel survive. And that's called Mizmar Liyasaf. The Gemara tells us, are there any situations in which a son is allowed to receive service from his father? Omer Le, Rav Yaakov Bar Avua Labai. Rav Yaakov asked Abai the following question. Kigon Ana, I am very beloved to my parents. The Adiasina mi Bei Rav, I'll show you how my parents respect me, how they look up to me. When I'm sitting in the Beis Medrash, Abba Madlili Kasa, my father brings me cups to drink. V'ima Mazgili, and my mother pours the liquids into the cup. They both together service me. Hechi Iavid, what should I do in such a case? They want to service me. Should I accept it from them? Amalei Abai answers to them that according to the strict halacha of the law, you should be accepting for them because they do it willingly. However, in your case, may imcha kabil may avuch lo tekabil. The cave under the bar Torah who cholsha daite. You can accept from your mother. She'll always be happy if you accept what she offers you, the drinks or whatever she gives you. But in the case of your father, he is a Talmud Chacham. And you know what? On certain occasions, he will have a certain chalishas hadas. You know, he's used to others giving him kavod. And even though, again, the law is that Rav Shemachal Kvodo Kvodo Machul, but nevertheless, that only removes the chiv kibud, but there still is a mitzvah of kibud. So what we have over here, in this case of mechila, is what we call a kiyum mitzvah kibud without a chiv. Now the Gemara tells the story about perhaps the greatest paradigm in Jewish history of kibud avei, and especially kibud ein. Rabbi Tarfon Havileahi Ima. Rabbi Tarfon had a mother. The chol emes tavi boy lemesik lepuria, whenever she had to climb onto the bed, gachin v'solikle, Rabbi Tarf would bend over so that she can climb onto his back to get onto the bed. The chol emes tavi nochas, when she ever wanted to come down from the bed, nochasas ilove, he would bend down so his mother could go down on top of him to get down to the floor. Again, Rabbi Tarf must have spent hours at his mother's bedside in order to be there on time, unless maybe she had a bell that she rang. I don't know. In any event, Tosus quotes the Yerushalmi of a different story with Rabbi Tarfon, which we'll get to in just a minute. But first, let's read the Talmud Bavli. Asa v'kamishtabach bein midrasha. It seems from the simple pshat in the Gemara, it's a very difficult pshat, but Rabbi Tarfon himself came into the Beis Medrash to sort of boast about Kibud Avayim, maybe because he wanted to teach his Talmidim how far Kibud Avayim goes. But in any event, we're going to see another version of this same story in Tosa, the name of Yerushalmi. Amri Le, the Chachamim responded to Rabbi Tarfon, Adayin lo higata lechatzi kibud. Even despite all the greatness, the excessive mitzvah, the superb mitzvah that you fulfill, you haven't even gotten halfway there. Why? Chlum, did it ever happen? It's a rhetorical question. Zorka arniki b'fanech liyam. Did she ever grab your pocketbook with all your life's earnings
and throw it into the to the bottom of the sea, down to the bottom of the sea. V'lochlamta, and you didn't embarrass her, you didn't react with anger. That would be kibud aveim. Tosis, as I said before, the name of Yishami has a slightly different girsa here. What happened was that when Rabbi Tarfon took ill, his mother came to the Beis Medrash to boast to the Chachamim about the great kibud av of Rabbi Tarfon. And the reason for that is that she wanted to impress upon them how important it is for them to daven on behalf of Rabbi Tarfon. And they responded by saying, "Adayin lo higia lachatzi kibud." I heard from my Rebbe once of Soloveitchik that what they were trying to convey is a substantial prayer that it would be premature for Hashem to take the life of Rabbi Tarfon. He has many years and decades in front of him to teach us kibud avayim. In any event, the Gemara tells us about Rav Yosef, ki avi shama kol kari de ime, omari declared, he heard the pitter-patter, the steps of his mother, she came close, from far, ekum, he declared, I will stand up, mekami shchinta di asa, I'm going to stand in front of the shchina that's coming. It means that bizman, we saw earlier, Malali Alam, Ki Ilu Darti Beinayev Chibduni, that Kibud Avaim is Goreim Hashra Sashvina. And therefore it makes absolute sense that you would have to stand in front of the Shechina. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, the demands of this mitzvah are endless, are so great that Ashrei Mishalo Chamat. Lucky is he who didn't see his parents, meaning they died before he got old enough. Maybe his father died when he was a child, and his mother also shortly afterwards. In other words, the kishalon here, the enormous chashon possibilities being nichshal and being punished, and you know, in the balance of it, it makes more sense if you could be potter from this mitzvah if you have no parents. And the Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan was talking about himself. Why Rabbi Yochanan? Ki ibrato imo, when his mother was pregnant with him, mace of him. So during his period, his embryonic stage, his father died, and then yoldato Mesa Imo, at childbirth his mother died. V'chein Abai, the same story happened to Abai. So both Rabbi Yochanan and Abai were born into this world as orphans. Eini is the Sov Amar Abaye Amar Li Aim. Abai quotes his mother. So the answer is Ahi Mar Benise Havoi. It wasn't his biological mother, but his adoptive mother. Rav Asi Havilea Hi Imos Kena. Rav Asi had an elderly mother. Amrale be'ina tachshite. It sounds like she was a widow. Bring me jewels, ornaments, probably expensive. Avadle Rav Asi fulfilled her request. I don't know how much money he spent. Be'ina gaber. Now she comes back and say, I want a man to marry. And what's Rav Asi going to say? He can't grab a man off the street and bring him to Ayin Lach. I'll try to work on it. You know, I'll contact all the shadchanim in town. Oh, but then she says already, now this is the clincher. Be'ina gavra deshapir kavosach. I want a man who's as good looking as you are. And at that point, Rav Asi understood that his mother had snapped, and that she was suffering from dementia. Shavka, he had no choice. He couldn't do anything. He couldn't deal with it. Situation was too overwhelming for him. Also, Liara de Yisrael, he made aliyah. People make aliyah for all different reasons. He made aliyah to avoid his mother. Shama, but then he heard the Ka'ozla Abasre, that his mother came after him. She's not going to let up. Also, Lakami to Rabbi Yochanan. Rav Asi comes in front of Rabbi Yochanan to ask him, what should he do? Amar Leh, he asks his Rebbe, Rabbi Yochanan, Ma'u Lotzeis Me Eretz May aretz l'chutzlaretz, is it permissible to leave the land and go chutzlaretz? Amar lei Rav Yochanan, responded also, l'kras ima mahu, what about for the sake of my mother, for keep it out for aim, am I allowed to leave eretz yisrael go chutzlaretz? Amar lei eini yodea, right now I don't have an answer for you. It could be that you're allowed to leave eretz yisrael for your parents, but it's hard for me to be matir leaving Eretz Yisrael. Atrach purta. So Rav Asi goes out for a few minutes. For Hadar Asi comes back in. He's insisting that Rav Yochanan give him a psak. Amarlo Asi. He called him by his first name, Rav Yochanan. Nisratzeis lotzeis. Okay, I see that you really want to go, and you're not taking my passivity as a final psak, a message that you should stay. Hamokom yachzircha l'shalom. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu bring you back here to Eretz Yisrael in peace. Now it could be, that's the Marsha's pshat here, that Rav Asi was only asking, can I go out of Eretz Yisrael in order to come back into Eretz Yisrael, be makabel pnei my mother. In any event, also Lakami the Rabbi Lazar, he, Rav Asi, comes in front of Rabbi Lazar, Amar Le, he wanted to know, Chas v'sholem Dilma Mirtach Rosach, perhaps Cholila v'chas, I got Rabbi Yochanan a little angry, that I was pressing him and pressuring him to allow me to go to Chutz Laretz. Amar Le, so Rabbi Lazar asks Rav Asi, my Amalcha, what was his answer to you? Amale, his answer was, Habakum Yasir Chol Shalom. He told me that Hashem should bring me back in peace. Amale, so Rabbi Lazar said, based on that response, in Isa de Rosach, if he was indeed angry at you, Lo Havi Mavarach Lach, he wouldn't have granted you any sort of a blessing. You don't bless someone when you're angry at them. Hadahachi the Hachi. As Rav Asi was preparing his trip to Chutz Laretz in order to be makabel pnei imo, Shoma, he got the bitter news, Liarona de Kosa. She had passed away, and they were bringing her Aron to bury in Eretz Yisrael. And Rav Asi was very upset about this. Omar declared, Iyadi lo nafki. Had I been aware of the fact before I left Chutz Laretz, Bavel, I wouldn't have left. I wouldn't have left. I didn't realize what an impact this would have on her tenuous life. I wanted to point out to you here, let me just find the some of the Rishonim and the Poskim draw halachic conclusions that are implied by this sugya of Rav Asi and Rav Yochanan. For example, according to the shita here that you'll see, called the shita l'onod l'mi, the mitzvah of kibud av v'em applies even after the death of a person, so that to go to Chutz Laretz, even for the sake of the Aron, should have been mutter. But the answer is, he says, that there's an Isur Yitzil of Chutz Laretz. For the sake of Kibud Av V'Em B'Chayim, there would be permission to leave Eretz Yisrael for Chutz Laretz. But for the sake of Kibud Av, or in this case, Em L'Yachar Moso, that's not strong enough to be docha, to override the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael and the Isur Yitzil Mei Eretz Yisrael. Also, another point is that Rav Yochanan initially hesitated, and the reason for that is because the Gemara Gittin establishes that Rav Asi was a Kohen, and we have a concept in Rabbanan called Tumas Eretz Amamin, and therefore Rav Yochanan felt very hesitant to allow his Talmid Rav Asi as a Kohen to leave Eretz Yisrael. Other poskim I saw in Rav Yisraeli's Sefer, he wants to derive an additional conclusion here from the story of Rav Yochanan. and Ravasi that it's impossible to keep a person incarcerated in Eretz Yisrael. So if they have a tremendous desire to go to Chutzlartz and for the right reasons, let's say a person has parents who are in Chutzlartz and they're ill, and for that reason he has to go Chutzlartz, leave Eretz Yisrael. In such a case, that's not the mitzvah of Yisrael itself. He would stay behind. There's no simcha, there's no enjoyment in being in Eretz Yisrael. That's not the mitzvah. Now, as far as the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em Li'achar Misa, I don't know if we'll get up to Rabbi Kivega today, but at least let's do the Braisa Yatar Rabbanon Mechabdo B'Chayov V'Mechabdo B'Mosa. The mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em continues even after the death of a person. And Gemara says how? B'Chayov Ketzad Hanishma bidvar aviv lemakom. A person has to go on a trip in order to bring something back for his father, and the people are meant to know that he wants to do this for the sake of kibud av v'em. Let's say he has to purchase something or bring back documents, whatever it is. Lo yomar shalchuni b'shvil atzmi. He shouldn't say hurry this up, maruni b'shvil atzmi. Oh, Petruni Bishvil Atzmi, finish it up, sign the bills, and send me on my way because of myself, even if he's Chashu. No, Ella, Kul Bishvil Abba, do it for the sake of my father, Shalchuni Meruni, because my father needs me, and he needs this. And hopefully that will enhance the kibud of his father. V'moso Ketzad, how do you do this after the death of a parent? He's saying something in the name of his father after his father's gone. Lo yomer, he shouldn't say kach omar abba. This is what my father said. El kach omar abba mori hareini kaporas mishkovo. May I be a kapora for him. In other words, any evil that should befall my father, that should be coming to my father, chas v'shalom, in the next world, I'd rather it came on to me. V'hani mili, when should he add these words, hareini kaparas mishkovo, toch shneimasar chodesh, only during the 12-month period after his father passed away, from mikan v'el chomer zichrona levrach l'chaye olam haba. What is the significance here of the 12-month period? Chazal teach us that up to 12 months is when a person is judged after his death. And even a Rasha is doomed to Gehenna for up to, but not beyond, 12 months. So within a 12-month period, it's possible to be Mekabel, for the son to be Kabbalah himself, the Kapara for his father. But after 12 months, then it's out of place for a person to accept upon himself any evil that was meant to befall his father, because his father himself would no longer receive that punishment after 12 months. I just want to point out here that when a person tells those He went far on behalf of his father, he says, do it for my father, that's only meaningful, say the poskim, if they wouldn't really comply with this fellow, the son's wishes, unless he asks in the name of his father. But if, on the other hand, they are not really interested in the father, then he shouldn't mention his father's name, because if at the end of the day they refuse, you know, to immediately respond to this desire and to this request, then it'll be on the contrary of Pagia and the Kavod of Father. In those cases, it's better to leave out your father's name. Now, Zichrono Livracha, it's very important to add the word Livracha, and the Taz is not happy when people write Zayin Lamed Hey Hey. Last piece of Gemara here on Daf Lamed Aleph Amid Beis touches on the basic laws of transmitting Torah. and how those laws apply in the case of Kibbut Avayim. And sometimes the Chacham who's teaching Torah, and Torah was taught through a Meturgamon, that was the person who would project, because you couldn't ask the Chacham to project his voice to the entire audience on a constant basis. So there was a middleman, he was called a Meturgamon. And sometimes the Chacham, who was Doresh, and he would whisper into the ears of the Meturgamon to tell him exactly what the Meturgamon should say, B'kol Ram, in a loud voice for the audience. Sometimes there's a problem here with regard to Kibbut Avayim. For example, let's say the Chacham wants to mention his father. Now, the Meturgamon is allowed to mention the Chacham's father's name, but the Chacham himself is not allowed to mention his father's name. So he has to somehow change the name, but in such a way that Meturgam will understand that he's referring to his father. So that's what this Braisa says. Torah Rabbana Chacham is Shana Shem Aviv, and the same Halacha Shem Rav applies to his Rav. In other words, he shouldn't mention the first name of his father or of his Rebbe. He should say Kachomer Abba Mori or Kachomer Rebbe Mori. And that's how the Ramah paskins in Simon Reish Mem Beis, that when he says Abba Mori, the Turgamon will understand he's referring to his father. And Turgamon, Eino Mishana Lo Shem Aviv Lo Shem Ravo, the Turgamon, since he's not bound by these restrictions, he should actually, when he says it over, mention the name of the father or the Rebbe. Now the Gemara wants to know, when it says Eino Mishana Shem Aviv Shem Rabo Avur Deman Ilem Avur Demiturgamon, if let's say the Meturgamon wants to mention his own father, let's say the father Meturgamon was mentioned in the Drasha, Atu Turgamon Labar Chiyuvi, the Gemara can't understand what happened to the Chiv Mitzvah Kibbut Avayim that's incumbent upon the Turgamon. How can the Turgamon say over something in the name of his father by name? Elomar Rava Shem Avish Shal Chacham Shem Rabo Shal Chacham. But rather, the case here in the Braisa is where the Turgamon wants to say over something in the name of the father of the Chacham, the Doresh, or the Rav of the Chacham. Kiha, the Gemara illustrates this. The Marbar of Ashi, Kihavi Dorish Bepirka, when Marbar of Ashi was darshaning publicly, and he was mentioning the name of his father, Rav Ashi, Iu Amar, he told the Meturgamon in a whispered voice, Kach Omar Abba Mori, the Amore, and the Meturgamon would say, Omar, Hachi Omar of Ashi. He would actually say the name of Rav Ashi, and he would spell it out. The last Braisa, which begins the next sugya, is going to discuss the difference between Kibbut and Mora. We pointed out there are two mitzvahs, and what is the substance of each of those two mitzvahs, and Hashem will pick that up tomorrow.